International travel is on hold for most of the world during the pandemic, but not for birds. Scientists at the British Trust for Ornithology recently tracked a common cuckoo as it flew from southern Africa to Mongolia, a journey of more than 7,500 miles. It's one of the longest animal migrations ever recorded. Chris Hewson is a senior research ecologist at the British Trust for Ornithology, and he joins us now to tell us more about this discovery. Chris, welcome, and you called this the Mongolia Cuckoo Project. Tell us what you found.
Well, so last summer we went to Kirk Ringing Station in northern Mongolia, and we put tags on five cuckoos. Four of them were common cuckoos, and one was an oriental cuckoo. The oriental cuckoo migrated, as we tracked it with the satellite tag, up till the northern part of central Siberia. But the other four birds all stayed around the ringing station in Mongolia until last autumn, when they started to migrate. And they actually migrated southward through China, and two of them actually ended up all the way 90 degrees of latitude away in southern Africa. So, it's one of the longest animal migrations which has been recorded for a land bird, certainly. It begs the question, I suppose, as to why a bird from Eastern Asia goes all the way to Africa for the winter.
Well, did you get any answers to that? Why do they have to go all the way that far?
Well, the common cuckoo is basically an African species which has expanded its breeding range all the way across Eurasia. So from the far west, we've got the British Isles, all the way to far eastern Russia. But until we did this project and its predecessor, when we tagged some birds in China in 2016, no one knew where the Asian birds would end up wintering. And it was thought that they may end up in southern Asia, but there was a possibility that they'd go to Africa. So we were quite surprised to find that they did actually do that. Theoretically, birds should migrate as short a distance as possible to survive, and this was one of the longest migrations, and it showed that they were able to overcome the costs in terms of the energy it takes to fly there, the time it takes them to fly there, and also exposure to hazards along the way. So obviously flying 2,000 or 3,000 kilometres over the ocean is quite a dangerous thing to do.
Right.
And of course, when you move, and you're moving to a new place all the time, so you're exposed to predators, but spring conditions, as rainfall in the tropics moves from north to south in the autumn and then from south to north back again in the spring. So they're able to follow the rains, and the rains produce the food which the birds depend on. So actually the energy is not a problem for them at all.
And how often do they stop along the way?
So they have what's called a stage migration, and they actually stop quite a few times. They have two or three major stopovers, but other than that, they'll stop most days when they're not over the desert. The major stopover for a Mongolian cuckoo before they fly over to Africa is in India, where they'll put on quite a lot of fat in autumn, and then they wait for what's called the intertropical convergence zone, a frontal system which takes rain from north to south. And behind that, they have gentle easterly winds taking them across the ocean. So it's quite a safe and probably even serene passage for them. And once they're fattened up and they've got these tailwinds, it's something they could do quite comfortably. And then they gradually move south within Africa following the rains, which leaves in its path a sort of fresh spring-like condition, which produces lots of food for the cuckoos to feast on.
Now, this may seem like a silly question to you, but I have to ask, how do they know that they need to fatten up before that part of the journey? And how do they know that certain winds are going to take them where they want to go?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, I think one of the triggers for them to fatten up are things like changes in day length. So certainly in the UK, we know that if you have a we actually had a captive cuckoo and it wasn't putting on any fat until we put it outside and it was in an aviary, it was exposed to the daylight. And as soon as we did that, it could see that the days were getting shorter. It put on a lot of fat and was ready for its migration. So that's one of the cues.
And then once they get there, do they then turn around and come back?
They'll stay on there in their final destination for a couple of months before coming back. If they find decent conditions, they'll certainly stay for a couple of months. But if the conditions they find deteriorate, they'll start to move once again from southern Africa. So the bird that we just tracked back to Mongolia spent the winter in middle of the winter in eastern Zambia. They do have some stopovers, but they're pretty much on the move throughout the year. So maybe 6 weeks to 2 months at each location is about the maximum that they'll do.
I've always heard the winter is nice in eastern Zambia. I'm sure that they enjoy their time there.
Absolutely. It looks very nice for them down there.
Now, what about the birds that you mentioned at the beginning that instead of going down to southern Africa, they went up to Siberia?
Yeah, well, the first bird was that I referred to there was an oriental cuckoo. So that's a different species again. And unlike the common cuckoos, which were all breeding in the area that we caught them, this bird migrated on for 2,000 or 3,000 kilometres up into the northern part of central Siberia. Well, it started to move south after the common cuckoos had already left Kirk, and we were hoping to see where it was going to go, because we think that this species, the oriental cuckoo, probably winters in southeastern Asia and even as far as Australia. Unfortunately, we lost contact with that bird in central China, and we're not sure exactly why that is, whether that was due to the tag failing or the bird itself dying. But nonetheless, unfortunately, we weren't able to track it down to its winter location, which would have been a first for that species.
Now, are there longer migrations than this in the animal world?
Yes, certainly. The longest bird migration is the Arctic tern, which, as its name suggests, breeds in the Arctic, and it winters all the way down in the Antarctic. But certainly, as far as land birds go, the common cuckoo is actually proving to be probably the longest migrant. So this particular migration isn't the longest, but our colleagues from Copenhagen and their Russian collaborators tracked a common cuckoo 2 years ago from the far eastern part of Russia, not far from Alaska, in fact, in Kamchatka. And that went all the way down to southwestern Africa in Namibia. And that, in fact, is the longest land bird migration, which has so far been documented.
Now, you mentioned that sometimes the birds arrive in a place and they don't want to stay there for very long because the conditions aren't good. Is climate change having a big effect on these migration patterns that you're seeing?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point, and it's something that we're looking at with respect to the common cuckoos that we have tracked from the UK. So most birds are getting back to the UK earlier in spring, as the springs are warmer and therefore earlier. But the common cuckoo is one of those species which isn't. It's only that and the common swift, which aren't getting back much earlier. And they're also two species which have undergone quite severe decline. So we wondered if there's something linking the two there. So we've been looking at the migrations of common cuckoos from their stopover in West Africa before they moved northwards over the Sahara, and looking at it in quite a lot of detail in relation to the rainfall patterns. And it seems that the rainfall patterns, when they do arrive, they arrive just in time for the birds to fatten up, because the rain brings productivity, which means there's lots of insects for them to eat. They arrive just in time for these birds to fatten up in time to come to Britain. And it may be that habitat loss rather than climate is more of a problem for them at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, from an evolutionary standpoint, why do they do this? Is this really the best outcome for the species to have to fly thousands of miles to breed?
Yeah, well, the common cuckoo is very closely related to a bird called the African cuckoo, which stays within the tropics of Africa. It does move around a bit, but nonetheless, it's a tropical species all the time. What's happened is that the common cuckoo has evolved to migrate north into Europe and Eurasia to exploit spring conditions there. In fact, they're a brood parasite, so they actually lay their eggs in the nests of other species and let them bring up the young. But the same applies, that they're basically exploiting those hosts which are exploiting the abundant insects and things in the spring in Eurasia. Why all cuckoos, even from as far east as far eastern Russia and China, come back to Africa is a different question. And I think it relates to the fact that the cost of the migration aren't as great as we thought, so there's plenty of food for them all the way. The breeding season is much later, about a month later than it is in Western Europe in the Far East, so they've got plenty of time to make that journey as well. And they seem to have really good strategies for instance, flying over the Indian Ocean. So they don't seem to incur much of a sort of mortality cost for that. And as I mentioned before, there's another species called the Oriental cuckoo, which probably winters, although it's not yet been documented very thoroughly in terms of tracking, in sort of southeastern Asia, northern Australia. So it may be that even if they did try and find another wintering ground in Asia, they would be find competition from the Oriental cuckoo. So yeah, overall, there may not be very much selection for them to try and find a shorter migration in a wintering ground that's closer to their breeding ground.
What is the biggest question you still have about the cuckoo?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, what we don't know very much about is what's happening to the populations of common cuckoos in eastern Asia. We know that in many populations of common cuckoos and other migratory species across the globe are in rapid decline, but we don't know what's going on with the Asian populations. But certainly in Europe, We found some evidence that cuckoos from the UK, for instance, take two different routes to get down to Africa, and birds which migrate via Spain rather than Italy seem to do less well than those which migrate via Italy. And there's a quite a strong correlation between use of this less successful route via Spain and the degree of population decline on the breeding grounds. But trying to understand exactly what's driving the population declines and therefore what we can do to try and reverse or stem the declines is something that we're really focusing on at the moment.
That is Chris Hewson, who is a senior research ecologist at the British Trust for Ornithology. He's been following a number of common cuckoos on their very long migration from Mongolia all the way down to southern Africa. Chris Hewson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you go to hereandnow.org, you can see what a common cuckoo looks like. I must say it looks very common, kind of amazing that they fly as far as they do. But it was a nice break from the news, wasn't it?